Nice. Hello and welcome to episode 185 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is February 24th, 2020. I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me is, as always, except for one time, is Slappy Jones 2. Show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/185, where you'll be able to find the link to the article we're going to discuss, as well as a link to libertymugs.com, where you can buy awesome libertarian-themed mugs and other things. And also, if you're interested in Bitcoin, go check out 10hoursofbitcoin.com, where give us 10 hours of your time, and we will get you up to speed on the most important things in Bitcoin, or the most important concepts to understand in Bitcoin, to give you a pretty good grounding to, you know, be able to navigate the space pretty well. So with that, I'm going to hand it right over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce this episode topic that he's apparently dying to talk about.
Yeah, so the article we're discussing today is called "Libertarians Are Coming for Your Sexual Dignity." It was written by Bedivere Bedredent. Hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, we have no idea how to pronounce that, nor do we know if this is a man or a woman. So Bedivere or Bedivere, if you end up listening to this and we call you a he and you're a she, our apologies.
Yeah. So this was in The American Mind, which is, I guess it's a blog for the Claremont Institute. The Claremont Institute is, I guess, a conservative think tank. They claim that they, rather than concentrate on policy like many other think tanks, the Claremont Institute teaches the principles and ideas that shape policy over time to the few that will go on to positions of leadership in media, politics, law, speechwriting, and academia. So I guess what they try to do is basically what this article talks about, maybe, although they're kind of talking about politics or policy. So I guess the gist of the article is they're ripping libertarians, which is how it came up, that we decided to talk about it, calls libertarians perverts, and what was the other one in there? Hate women?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we can read some excerpts, but the gist of it is basically he says libertarians are coming from your sexual dignity, and I believe that was a response to a opinion piece in the Los Angeles Times titled "Conservatives Are Coming for Your Pornhub," which Matt Welch wrote back on January 3rd, 2020. So this article in The American Mind must have come out since then. There's not a date on it, so I don't know when it came out, but had to be since January 3rd. And yeah, so he goes after the Libertarian Party and says that it's a public health crisis. And
well, he's to be fair, he's not really saying the public calling it a public health crisis is very
effective. It will work.
Yeah.
No, he said it's not effective. What he wants to do, he brings up the story of California, and I guess in 2008 or 2009. They voted to make there a constitutional amendment that marriage is between a man and a woman. And then 10 years later, that's like unthinkable. And he says that the gay rights movement did it by shaming people. And that's how, am I right in saying that's how he thinks they can get rid of porn?
Yes. You have to shame people who
watch it or produce it. Or act
in it. I guess do anything that doesn't involve banning it.
Right. And so,
so I guess that would include we should be shamed because I don't think either of us think porn's a very good thing. And I would say, you know, ironically, I would agree with a lot of the points that this.
I was going to say, I agree with a lot of the article.
Yeah, makes about the dangers and the nastiness of pornography.
How it can be destructive. Like sitting there all day watching all different kinds of porn is not healthy, or it doesn't seem to be healthy.
Right. I mean, you're hitting your dopamine receptors and stuff with a sledgehammer. Right. Just like any other addictive activity, probably not all that healthy for you.
Probably not good for your relationships. If you're married, probably not good, you know.
And I think we'll get into it later when we might discuss how we might think that, you know, this, if it's a problem, and I think it is, that it might get solved. But I don't know if you would have anything else to kind of...
No, I mean, I was going to kind of...
Or just the one point I want to make.
Go ahead.
What's interesting is that he's going after libertarians a lot, but it seems like it's not just libertarian. Like he should be also going after his fellow conservatives. This one paragraph. Okay, you can go ahead.
No, I just really quickly. I love it when people do this. They're like, libertarians have no influence anywhere,
right?
And they're always the bad guy. They're always the ones who are doing this and causing that. Like, libertarians have no influence. They have no seats in Congress, in the House. I don't believe that. Are there any libertarians in the House of Representatives or in the Senate? Is Rand Paul the closest we get? Like,
I guess
libertarianism
Amash.
Isn't. Yeah, Justin Amash. It always blows my mind that libertarians are always this bad guy who's getting everyone to watch porn, and you know, libertarians have like very little influence. But anyway,
I think it's because everyone can kind of, unless you're a libertarian, the chances of you understanding what libertarianism is almost zero.
Slim.
Yeah. So it's easy for anyone to just pick on the libertarians, and because we say things that are a little bit different, we don't want to legislate anything, really. Then you get to say like, oh, well, they don't want to ban porn. They must
so
love
because
porn.
they are in favor of porn, so right. They're the bad guys. And anyone who watches porn is because libertarianism is out there telling them it's good.
Yeah. They don't want to make drugs illegal. They must all want to take drugs.
Yeah,
which is the other thing. Let's I kind of was talking about this before we got on, but I think libertarians tend to do a pretty good job of being able to realize and understand that, you know, when talking about drugs and everything and the war on drugs and saying that drugs should be not made illegal, the government shouldn't have anything to do with what you put in your body. They tend to do a pretty good job despite all sorts of straw men made against us. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean that like we support or endorse the use of drugs. It's
in all situations,
right? I mean, I drink coffee, so there's caffeine. That's a drug. Drink right. Alcohol. That's a drug. But like, I don't want to start like lecturing people. I'm not your father, and I don't want to be your father. And you know, at the end of the day, do what you want. I have my opinions on this stuff. But I feel like there's a little bit of a tendency for people to feel like this is a situation, and not just pornography, but like sex work too, that you like people feel like they have to endorse it a little bit more than they would otherwise. This whole idea that like, oh, well, sex work is... it's just work, and
voluntary.
So it's dignified, and not only should we, not be against the government brutalizing these people, but like no, that's we should. It's work, and it's voluntary, and so it's say it's economically productive because people want to voluntarily trade to have it and do all that stuff. Well, therefore, it's good, and then you know that's part of a healthy economy. It's like, well, maybe not. There's plenty of things that go on, you know, just use the drugs, for example. I think a healthier society would not have as much drug use. And I would also think that that would apply to pornography and other sex work. I think a healthier society would not see it as prevalent. I think I think the prevalence of pornography and a lot of this stuff has a lot to do with high time preference, living in a high time preference society, that there's, you know, we're kind of geared towards instant gratification and what better way to demonstrate instant gratification than instead of if you're interested in you know, having sex and everything, which we're human beings, we pretty much all are, that instead of like forming relationships with someone of the opposite sex and, you know, courting someone that you find attractive, dating them and, you know, getting married and going that route, the very traditional route, as opposed to just like going on your phone or computer and in a couple clicks that you basically have the crappy version of that. But it kind of satisfies that immediate desire in like yep. some weird perverted way, much like we can look at the, you know, what our economy looks like because of easy money with the way that housing's going. Like you look at houses or buildings built in the, you know, during the really the best time for the gold standard in the 1800s and everything. And a lot of those buildings were built to last. You know, you look at a stone house that was built 100 years ago, 150 years ago, man, that thing's like solid as a rock. No pun intended, it's a stone house, but you know, probably gonna last another 150 years. Meanwhile, you know, a lot of these McMansions that are being built in the last decade or so, you know, they're the spawn of cheap credit and easy money where resources aren't actually available, so they use the ersatz or kind of the crappier substitutes. And then, you know, you're living in a house, but it's crappy, and it's probably not going to really last that long, and probably not going to, you know, be as good as the house built with the better materials and everything, one that you had to actually save for to build. And so those two ideas kind of run parallel to each other. So that's kind of my spiel on that. I don't think we have to keep talking about that kind of part of it necessarily. But I wanted to get it out there because I don't want people to think that because we're criticizing this article or criticizing some of the views by Betavere that we're endorsing the other side at all of it. So.
Correct.
Also, if you have young children that listen to this podcast with this may be a little late to say this, but this may not be the episode that you listen to with polite company.
Yeah, but anyway, he is talking about banning it, right?
Yes. No. Yeah. There's at least once or twice explicitly saying that they want to ban it. I think at the very end. I think the very last, let's see. Once we break their spell, we start passing laws because they are good for morals, supportive of religion, and in accordance with natural law, we will be well on our way to America's refounding. Perverts, beware. So you want to tackle that first?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a lot. And what would that look like?
Well, he never says, like, yeah, never mentions about how you actually go about effectively banning it, because there's plenty of things that governments have tried banning before. And how does that work out?
Yeah, I mean, even throughout this article, he talks about how people usually feel shame watching porn. They don't tell everyone. They delete their browser history. They do it in secret. So if you ban it, do you think those people will still do it in secret?
Well, the government says no. And every time the government has always ever said no, people
listen.
Don't do that. Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't take much. You know, if you go it doesn't take much to produce porn, right? You need like two people and a cell phone, mm-hmm. and you can film it and put it on wherever you want to put it. I mean, how would that look stopping, banning it and then prosecuting people? And are you going to prosecute anyone who watches it, or is it just the websites that host it? Or like, this is such a huge industry say what you want about it. Like in the top 10 websites, I think like four of them are porn sites. I could be wrong about that, but it's something like that. So there's like if it was banned, it's not going away. People are it's very easy to create and it's very easy to put out there. There will be untraceable websites or dark web. I don't know. It would be out there, and that would be if this guy is a I would assume he is a conservative. He's at the Claremont Institute, which explicitly calls themselves conservative and limited government. And it sounds like he has traditional morals. He's talking about legislating based on morals. What does that society look like? And if you're for limited government, what does that look like?
Yeah, a good example, I think, was I think it was on Free Man Beyond the Wall with Jeff Deist, and Pete asked him about immigration and the borders and everything, and Deist made a really good point. He's like, "Well, what do these people think that enforcing the borders is going to look like? It's not like you can just kind of wave your magic wand and." Oh, hey, we're just keeping, it's a very easy thing to do. Like, what kind of state apparatus would you need to enforce the border control? And it's massive. It is a massive amount of government needed to do that one simple thing. And not only is it a massive amount of government for the people that you're trying to prevent from getting in here, it's also a massive amount of government on everybody else. You can't just like assume that someone's here is here illegally. So there's going to be a lot of like, can I see your papers or being anywhere around the border, going in and out of Mexico, or I guess Canada too, or anywhere. It's going to be a massive intrusion on everyone's rights. And what does he think is going to be like? What are you going to have to like be monitored constantly? Because it's not like, especially if they made it illegal, it's not like, videos and pornography. It's going to be like, this is pornography.com. Like, they're going to figure out ways to kind of like distribute it and everything and get around mm-hmm. these laws. So is everyone going to be monitored? Everything they do on the internet going to be monitored so you can make sure?
I mean, if it was going to work. I imagine he doesn't just want – because he actually – I think he says there's laws on the books that haven't been enforced since Obama was elected. Thanks, Obama. But but so, he obviously doesn't want that. He doesn't want just laws for the look of it. So he wants them enforced.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is that going to look like? And I just want to correct myself because I looked up the Alexa rankings and there is not three in the top 10. If I can find that damn link again. But
no, but it's like
there's several in the top 50.
But to your point, it's like anything else. Everyone, we should have a law against this. Okay. What is enforcement like that going to look like? Everyone takes that for granted. Everyone thinks that gun control. It's another one. We don't want to have people owning these certain rifles or guns and everything. Okay, what's that going to look like? How are you going to enforce that? You're going to make a law and everyone's just going to hand their guns in? Or people always, it's the same thing. It's the same story every single time. This guy just said, there's already laws on the books that aren't being enforced. Well, why aren't they being enforced? Right. Just like when people say, we're going to talk about gun regulation. There's plenty of people saying, we don't need new gun laws. We just need to enforce the gun laws that are already there. Why aren't they being enforced? Or what's going on? Like, why aren't they working? It's the same thing. This is why conservatives like drive me nuts a lot of times because
especially when they say they're small government people.
Man, horseshoe theory with the leftists with banning stuff. It's like you just think that the government says, yes, we'll ban it and it's going to work. I would love for someone to explain to me how they think that this would work. How do you think that an effective ban would work without just like absolutely draconian measures by the government? Aren't there other countries like that have bans on pornography and they basically like control the internet and it's like very
probably.
Yeah, I think there's some like Islamic theocracies that have this stuff. That's like not saying that that's what you're going to get if you ban pornography is an Islamic theocracy, but you're going to probably have to look and see what they do to have it banned. Plus, their culture is completely different. The fact that their government is an Islamic theocracy says a lot about the culture of where they live. So it's not like you can just take that template and say, "Oh, let's just take a look at this law," and then just make it apply to our own country. It's funny. It just kind of reminds me to when we had the episode with Jake from Tasting Anarchy, talking about the agencies for basically kidnapping kids who are in bad situations and getting them out of them. So societies are normative, and you kind of need the permission of your community, the populace, in order to be able to do certain things. I certainly don't think that most people are going to be willing to throw people in cages for watching pornography. Did you find what you were looking for, Slappy?
I found something that I think is interesting.
Okay.
So I looked up countries that ban porn, and I did not get a list of them, but I did find a link that Reporters Without Borders did, and they started publishing a list of enemies of the internet. And these countries mark themselves out not just for their capacity to censor news and information online, but also for their almost systematic repression of internet users. And there's a list of a handful of countries here. Some you might expect: China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Pakistan, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Syria, Turkmenistan, United States, Uzbekistan, Vietnam. Like, very interesting, the land of the free. So your small government think tank, I don't know, you're included. Now the UK is on there, United Arab Emirates, Uzbekistan, but interesting.
Yes, that is pretty interesting. So the other thing, getting back to the one spot in the article I wanted to talk about a little while ago, but I want to read this little excerpt.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. "You might expect at this point for me to go all Andrea Dworkin, anti-porn radical feminist, and say that porn supporters, people like Matt Welch, who complains that we're coming for his Pornhub, and CJ Pearson, who says that if you don't like porn, don't watch it, and the entire Libertarian Party, all hate women. Well, they like porn, so that's probably true." Not like, it's weird. I think
just continue on to the next sentence.
Okay. "But the trouble, really, is that trying to shame people who actually do hate women by calling them misogynists won't work. They like hating women. This is part of what makes porn so addicting. Side note, the 'you hate gays' line worked because people generally did not hate gays and did not want to hate gays. They just weren't woke enough to realize that not hating gays required being for gay marriage. They were quick to comply once shamed." That's the other thing, too, is that, like, if pornography is addictive, how effective is just being, like, the shaming thing? It's not like the people that were supporting or against gay marriage had, like, some sort of addiction to it, or, like, were engaging in it themselves. Yeah. Like, it's just not... Right. I don't think it's really that...
You know, there was a blog I used to read where the guy would go into in Kensington and Philadelphia and interview people for, you know, who are addicted to opioids or whatever else, and they're living on the streets, and none of them are proud of it. Right. You could shame them all day. It's not going to help them. It's not like they're going to be like, "Oh, I threw my life away. Time to clean up." like, there's a different solution for someone who's addicted to something. Throwing them in a cage hasn't worked really well.
Probably not telling them that they are awful human beings that ought
it
to
probably
feel
doesn't
shame.
Help.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that when I was reading it, but no, that's a good point. Goodness. But yeah, and then just like, if you... So he's trying to say that if you... these people, Matt Welch, C.J. Pearson, and the, quote, entire Libertarian Party, unquote, all like porn, and so they all hate women. So I think the idea that if you like porn, that means you hate women, I think is silly. I don't think we need to really go into that. Also, that kind of denies the fact that women also watch porn, and probably right. at rates that are higher than most people would assume. So do they hate women or hate men? I guess, according to this guy. But this this claim that these people all like porn, he's really saying that that's true. And I think that's really kind of insane. Matt Welch, I didn't read the article that he did. I don't care.
I read a little bit of it, but I didn't care that much.
Maybe he likes porn. And that's fine. There's plenty of people out there that are arguing against a porn ban who like porn, obviously. But what's interesting is the C.J. Pearson thing.
Yeah.
So he wrote a tweet, and C.J. Pearson, as far as I know, is not really a libertarian.
He's not a libertarian, right?
He's just like a conservative.
Isn't he like a Republican conservative?
Yeah.
And
so
he's
here's
like 17 here's, or something?
Yeah. Here's the tweet. Because he was... quote tweeting Matt Walsh, not Matt Welch. But C.J. Pearson tweets, "If you don't like porn, don't watch it. Conservatives believe in limited government. At least we're supposed to. Let parents do their job." Like, to me, that sounds... If I had to guess on whether he liked porn or didn't like porn, I would say he was on the not like porn side, because he's saying let parents do their job. Presumably, that means not showing kids porn or keeping them insulated from it, at least.
I mean, that's what I would... I would not get that he is somehow in favor of porn in that tweet.
Yeah. Or at least you just simply don't have enough information to make a judgment on it. But apparently he's getting lumped in with with libertarians because he doesn't want the government to ban porn. I don't know.
Which he evidenced by a tweet.
Yeah, I think he was having more conversations about this. Let's see.
I mean, whatever. I can believe that he doesn't want to ban it. That's fine.
Because actually, this is interesting. Wait, is Matt Walsh a libertarian? Am I getting those Matt Welch and Matt Walsh confused?
I think they're both libertarians.
Okay, because C.J. Pearson was going at it with Matt Walsh. Because Matt Walsh tweeted, "Nothing accidental. Yes, I unapologetically argue for deplatforming all pornographers. Put them in jail, too." And C.J. Pearson responds, "This is tyrannical, but okay." And then it was, you know, a little bit of back and forth. But I, you know, CJ was never arguing that, like, no, porn's great and we should, you know, have a lot of it and I love it. It's just like, let's not have the government impose these, you know, pretty, as he put it, tyrannical rules, which I agree with him. And, you know, ironically, I think more people, more conservatives should take the view of CJ instead of calling for the government to just put a ban hammer down. But also, apparently, the entire Libertarian Party thinks that porn's great. And so we'll click that link in the article where the link, the little blue hyperlink is the entire Libertarian Party. So let's click that. And it is another tweet. This is all from this, like, CJ Pearson tweet. A lot of, wow. Some of this is just coming from the same like Twitter conversation. So on that, if you don't like porn, don't watch it tweet. Josh Hammer quote tweeted CJ Pearson and says, "We have raised an entire generation to believe that conservatism and libertarianism are synonymous. They are not." Okay. That's true, but I don't see how that's denying anything Pearson said, but whatever. So the Libertarian Party took that tweet and said, "You're right, they're not. Conservatives want to force their worldview on others using big government. Libertarians want to let people live their lives peacefully and keep government out of it. One of these two groups understands how the founders wanted our government to run." As far as the Libertarian Party goes, that's a pretty good tweet.
Sure.
We like to rip on them a lot, but, you know, a lot of times they get stuff right, and I think this one's an easy one for them to get, and they did get it. Or at least that tweet. I don't know what else that Twitter handle has said. But it's funny. You know what's funny, too, about this? Is that because of a tweet by a person in the Libertarian Party, because obviously the Libertarian Party does not represent everyone in the Libertarian Party or libertarians in general, but our guy who wrote this article is assigning that all libertarians, or the entire Libertarian Party at least, believes that porn's okay or is good. So well, why does not he also assume that because CJ Pearson, who is a conservative, represents all of conservatives?
Like, the other thing, Matt Walsh, so I'm sorry to cut you off, but he writes for the Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how libertarian he actually is.
I think he's not confusing at all.
Yeah. Welch is, definitely.
Right. But again, this Libertarian Party tweet, never in there did they endorse pornography. They're just saying that we don't want the government to solve that problem.
We don't think they do a very good job of it anyway.
So I don't know much about Bedivere's other politics, but assuming that he's conservative because he says he is, I mean, would it be fair if, let's take a topic like minimum wage, and I'll assume he's like other conservatives who are against raising the minimum wage. Would it be fair to say because he doesn't want, and he'll probably, you know, say, just because I don't want the government to raise the minimum wage doesn't mean I want people to be poor. Is it fair to then say, well, you just hate poor people? Like, it's the same thing. And I'm sure that he would get annoyed and pissed off and frustrated at people that make accusations. But then again, ironically, he's using the leftist playbook and just trying to denigrate and shame anyone who is against him. And so it doesn't matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter what logic says.
And what we were saying before is what I think is the case. I kind of think is, you know, the only reason you would write something so over the top that libertarians hate women is because you're hoping someone takes the bait. And you're trying to do your shame thing in the article subtly, maybe not so subtly, but not so explicitly either. Like, he doesn't say we can shame them this way. He just says it. Libertarian hate women. So you don't want to be associated with libertarians hate women and they don't want to ban porn. Well, you don't want to be a woman hater.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Like, yeah. It's such a stupid, silly strategy. Like,
yeah, it's not going to work. No one's going to jump on. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on what could be done?
Well, I think if we, you know, if more people had tractors, then they would just be more focused on that and not be on the internet so much. They wouldn't even be thinking about that.
So, interesting.
There's my solution. No, I mean, I think it's obviously not throwing people in cages is not the...
It's not going to do anything. Like, the fact that it's such big business and you can say what you want, you, like...
That's the other
so
thing.
Like, it's not going away, no matter what you do.
Isn't L.A. like the like the porn production mecca or something?
Probably. It sounds about right.
So, using his home state of California, do you think that the Californian politicians are going to tell a multi-billion-dollar industry to pack up, you're not welcome here anymore, when they're getting massive amounts of tax revenue from them and probably massive amounts of campaign donations, I would imagine. Where they will be if this if legislation of pornography starts going on the table there. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen there? But I do agree with him that this is a question of society's preferences.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to, in order for, I mean, really, do you need to, here's the other thing too, that this is so poorly thought out. If you got everyone to shame, or got everyone to think that pornography was bad and thought it was very shameful and everything, then why do you need a law at that point to ban it? Just so you can, like, dominate the few people.
Throw people in a jail, right?
Right. But, like, I would even think that he would agree that you're never going to get rid of it. There's always going to be people that are going to want to consume it. But if you could, you know, drastically minimize the amount that's out there, I think he would take that as a pretty big win. Just like, I don't think anyone actually thinks that we're ever going to completely do away with murder. But if we could drastically reduce how much murder there is, I think that's the best you can hope for. I mean, always hoping, you should always, your goal should be to completely eliminate it. But, you know, let's be realistic. You're never going to do that because there's no such thing as utopia. I forget what I was trying to go with that. Spot me, Slappy, spot me.
Yeah, no, you were saying we'll never eliminate it.
Yeah, it was something before that, but whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll probably think of it as we keep going. But, man, now I can't think of
options
anything.
To reduce it.
Yeah, we're kind of talking about that. But,
yeah.
Man, I knocked myself off track. First time in the history of podcasting.
I've
ever gotten confused mid-sentence.
He talked about religion or bust.
Well, I would think I was talking about how, like, poorly thought out this is. Yeah,
yes.
That's right. It's like, so if you got to the point where you're able to get enough people to change society, that, like, who, like, at this point, because politics is downstream of culture, and so it's the same thing with gay marriage. It was only after the people, like, basically permitted it anyway, they're just kind of passing the law. It's not really a big deal. All the work's been done. So that's what I wanted to say. So I agree that you have to change kind of the mind of society, of the community, of the culture to reject.
If anything's going to change.
Right.
Right.
To reject pornography. But I don't think that the way of doing that is by, you know, wagging your finger at people and telling them how evil and awful they are. I mean, I don't think it's an issue of saying that pornography's bad. Like, you know, say that all you want, because that is what you're trying to get at. But there's a difference between saying that, like, oh, this is a bad destructive behavior that you're engaged in. There's a difference between saying that and saying that you are a bad destructive person.
Mm-hmm.
The latter way, I don't think you're going to catch many flies with that vinegar. So I think if you really want to solve this problem, just like if you want to solve any problem, you really have to, you know, strike at the root cause of it. And I think what we kind of talked about earlier in the episode, that I think the major root cause of this is a high time preference. Well, it's not the root cause, but the root cause I would think is easy money, having an unsound fiat money system. But you have a high time preference society that values the instant gratification as opposed to, you know, more more disciplined structure. I can't think of the right word.
Yeah,
sure. Lower time preference society. Lower time preference. But until you tackle that, you're just going to be kind of playing whack-a-mole with stuff, and you're never going to. You're going to be just chasing symptoms, treating symptoms, and so you're just going to create this like massive state apparatus for the state where you're going to be dumping more money in. And how does the government get funded for this kind of stuff? Oh, that's right. They tend to just print money to fund themselves for this stuff. So you're just going to be creating a positive feedback loop for more of this high time preference society by making money and credit easier. Because you have to print money in order to do this stuff, and it's just you're just making the problem worse. The ultimate problem worse. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, no, totally agree. One thing I wanted to just throw in there too, because conservatives love to talk about how religion is dying in the country and whatever. You know, no one's religious. There's all these atheists running around. He may even mention that in there. But one thing he did say, so first off, advocate for, pass, and enforce laws that presuppose that protecting good religion and natural law is worth doing. Laws which explicitly reject perverted utilitarian and consequentialist reasoning. So if earlier, and I don't have that part, but if you believe that religion is playing a lesser role in everything, how exactly are you going to accomplish that? Like he said that he quoted one of the founders saying that this constitution is designed for people with a religion and morals, and if you don't have any, then it falls apart. And he's talking about protecting that. Well, really? Like, do you think the government is very religious? Do you think they're all, like, good, holy people up there in Congress? I think we're past that point, and if we ever were ever there to begin with.
Just shame them into being religious.
Yeah, like, how are you going to do that? You're going to go to all your churches and tell the people to run and then get elected? Like, this is so absurd. And it's funny when people want to say that libertarians are utilitarian. While this guy's working on a piece of paper that's going to enforce certain things and we're going to just get the religious people voted and then everyone will just be religious. Like, it's absurd. This whole thing is absurd.
Well, he also kind of, he doesn't get too much into Trump, but he kind of, I think he insinuates, if not says explicitly, and if I'm not remembering this correctly, I apologize, but I think he seems to think that like the Republicans are going to try to, or at least conservatives, get us back on this you know, right path, no pun intended. Yeah, he kind of does say this. The 2016 GOP platform was sort of encouraging because it at least named pornography a menace, but it was ultimately discouraging because it boiled the problem down to, guess what, a public health crisis. Well, also, guess what? And I think he mentions Trump in like a second term, maybe doing something of a ban. Donald Trump paid a porn star to have sex with him.
Like, he's our anti-porn champion.
Like, I don't want to say that, you know, just because you do something in the past doesn't mean that, like, you never, like, maybe Donald Trump says, hey, that's a mistake I made. I'm not proud of that. And I shouldn't have done that. I don't know. But are we going to sit there and assume that's what he feels about it now? Like, right. Of all the people to have, you know, probably leading the charge for this is the guy.
Is that the guy?
Yes.
Well,
he's like a known womanizer. that, you know, I'm not saying that, I'm not, by calling him a womanizer, I'm not saying that he's, you know, molested or raped anybody, but there's no question that he likes his women and he's not, you know, not afraid or has it in his past that whole, you know, pay a porn star to have sex with him. I mean, it's just, it's absurd.
Well, here's where I found the line. America is on the brink of, this is him writing this, America is on the brink of total collapse. Actual religion in this country is, with startling speed, being replaced by atheism, vapid spiritualities, New Age and otherwise, and moralistic therapeutic deism of the most gauzy varieties. Of course, this is not news, like it's so obvious, right? But if it means the death of a moral and religious people, which it does, then it means the death of the Republican government in the United States. So you already lost. It's done. It's over. Why not argue for individual liberty and being able to back out of this republic that has no morals and create your own society and live in your own rules and not have to pay your taxes to these people who are doing things that you are morally opposed to? Why not argue for that? Why not secede and form your own area? That's a much, sounds impractical, but a much better solution than trying to force people to be religious by voting and passing laws, which by your own admission isn't happening and isn't going to happen.
And why just the United States? And why just California? Why not the rest of the world?
No one else matters.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess, you know, appealing to religion, but apparently doesn't really care about anyone in Canada.
No, or Mexico. He doesn't.
But like, as a Christian, like, they're not your brothers and sisters too. So if you want to kind of force this, I mean, I don't think
that's probably why. I'll bet you there's, I don't know this, I haven't read this from them. I don't know if this Claremont Institute is in favor of the war state or not, because there are, believe it or not, some conservatives who are anti-war. But I'll bet you that's one of the reasons they would say they are for it, is because they're not Christian. We have to teach them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
just kind of...
be careful, Mexicans and everyone else, because once we fix it here, they'll go around the world and enforce it everywhere else.
Yeah, and you know, I would love to, if I could ask Bedivere to read a book, it would probably be Democracy, the God That Failed by Hans Hermann Hoppe, because Hoppe does a really good job, I think, of talking about time preference in society and how in a free society that you would have the people that are kind of the best, the societal leaders, the ones who live the most productive, wholesome lives, end up being good role models for everyone else. And because they live these good lives, good moral sound lives, that translates into, you know, other aspects of their lives, whether it's financial and economic and social. And so when you achieve that success in all those areas, it makes people look at look at you and say, well, what's this guy doing? Why is he so successful? Mm-hmm. Let me copy him. And so Bedivere, if you happen to listen to this episode, I highly recommend you go check out Democracy, the God That Failed by Hans Hermann Hoppe, and read it with an open mind and hope that maybe Hoppe can explain some better ways to, you know, achieve a better society. Because I do think that we probably envision like what we want, you know, outside of how it's going to get there, but we probably want similar things in society. I'm not speaking for all libertarians here. I'm talking about me.
No,
probably you, Slappy.
Me, yeah.
But like, you know, we probably have a very similar personal views on morality. And I just think that we have a much better way in both its effectiveness and the morality to get us there. Now, it might not, ours is going to take a lot longer, I would think. Or it's, I don't think his way is going to get us there at all.
It's
I think our proposal is I think our proposal is, you know, we say that it's going to be longer, as opposed to, I think he has a much shorter time frame that he thinks his thing's going to work. So maybe, you know, us asking for patience and going about it in a more roundabout way is less appealing, but it's very similar to like how capital and new technology is built up, that in order to gain more production out of an economy, that you can't directly produce what you're trying to get. You kind of have to have like a roundabout way. If you want to build a, I don't know, go catch fish. The most productive way of doing it is probably not going out there with your bare hands and grabbing fish. You have to, you know, maybe build a fishing rod or maybe build a fishing net, and or maybe even build a farm that you can raise fish there. So if you're saying, if we're sitting there in the woods and it's like, I'm hungry, I want fish. And one guy says, well, let's just go out, jump in the river and try to grab some. That sounds more appealing to a guy that's a little bit hungrier than being like, well, let's look for a good stick and some rope that we can, or some string that we can use, and maybe even this, bone that we can whittle into a hook to catch it. Like the latter sounds a whole lot less appealing than the former, even though, using
making the rod will be better for the long run.
Yes. Yes. And so I think it's the same way with trying to develop society, develop like this social capital, if you will, in society. I think it's, mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing. You develop economic capital and improve economic production. I think it's the same way that I think that the morals and societal health are built in very similar ways. And just this like easy way of being like, well, we could just have the government do it for us. What a lazy way to approach this stuff.
Right. I'll just vote for it, then I don't have to do anything.
Right. Or I'll just tell people they're evil and complain on and just like
and lock them in a cage if they don't agree with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we disagree with his method of getting to where he wants to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might have to rewrite the little intro to this because I ended up talking about this in a little bit different way than I originally anticipated, but I think it's good.
Cool.
Slappy, do you have a free market success story?
Sure. I guess it's a success. I don't know. Yeah, it is, because I wouldn't have gone otherwise. My family went out to lunch on Sunday and went to a Brazilian steakhouse. Mm. And I have a few kids, and it can get expensive going out to eat. Especially, I don't know if all Brazilian steakhouses are like this, but everyone I've been to is where they just keep coming out with other slices of meat, and it's all you can eat, and you just go all day if you want, and maybe they put a time limit on it. I don't know. Nobody ever came and said anything. And you have a little card, you flip it up, and they keep coming, and the food is so good. And they had a buffet there for salads, which also had lobster and I don't know, mussels, all kinds of seafood and great stuff, clams, mussels, smoked salmon. And you just go up, get what you want. Again, the guy comes around with this big spit with meat on it and slices it onto your plate, however you want it cooked. It's fantastic. But it can be expensive if you're bringing a family. So when we looked at the menu, turns out that adults were $36, I believe, and kids were only $5.
What was the age limit for kids?
Did you? I believe it was. So there was. It was segmented out. All my kids were in the $5 range.
Okay.
But I believe it was like 7 to 12 is half the price of an adult. Okay. And so under seven was $5. And I guess they assume, I don't know what their reasoning for that is, but there's no way we were going to go there if we had to pay for three. My youngest isn't going to eat, doesn't have teeth yet, but the other three did eat. So if we were going to pay, you know, $36 times five, that's an expensive lunch. You only have to pay $5 for the three little guys. That makes it a lot more manageable, and it's really good food. So
I'm sure the kids were eating lamb, leg of lamb yeah. with mint jelly.
Yeah, no, they opted for the buffet that had chicken fingers and macaroni and cheese, and they loved the dessert, so that was good. But it worked out. We all got food we wanted. They had food for kids. $5 is cheaper than I'm going to get them at the diner. If we go there and get a kid's plate, it's going to cost me over $10. So you go to the diner and my wife and I eat and the kids eat, it's going to cost us $60. This costs us, with the tip included and everything, here it was about $100. Not bad.
Yeah,
it was around there. So you pay. Yeah, the food is really good. I can't stress that. It was worth it. So just a free market success story in that if they didn't do that with the prices, there's no way I was going. And I'm sure other people are in the same boat where there's no chance they'd go if everyone there who's not going to eat much, my five-year-old loved it. He got as many chicken fingers as he wanted, but he didn't eat any of the lamb or the sausage or the chicken or the filet wrapped in bacon. And I had a little bit of all of that. So it was a free market success for sure.
Yeah. And if you think about it, a lot of restaurants out there have the kids menu where it's usually a different kind of food, like mm-hmm. a chicken nugget type things. Well, you know, food that little kids like to eat, and it's for, you know, small portions and it's not expensive. So I think that's just, like you said, it's a way to get families that otherwise wouldn't go to restaurants to get everyone out there and get more people going to more restaurants. So they have a good way of figuring out ways to attract people and get their business. Although that said, I just don't know why they just don't say that the government should make a law that if you don't go to their restaurant and bring your kids that you go to jail. I mean, it seems like
That would be much more profitable, but then you would have to, but then people would stop going. And so, yeah, you said make a law that if you don't go.
Yeah, you would have to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be the way you would do it. Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. No, totally on board. If they did that, then that would end that problem. And they could charge everyone they could charge everyone $50, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's the conservative way.
Yeah.
So
eating is good for people. We need people to eat.
Mm-hmm. If you leave them to their own devices, they might not even eat. So,
well, right. So we should put a law. Why isn't there a law that you have to eat?
And not only you have to eat, but you should also eat the right things. So
true, because people who aren't healthy then become a drain on, you know, everyone else. Right. On time, money for the medical system. So maybe we should do that. It's for their good.
Yeah.
To live long, prosperous lives.
I mean, if you don't agree with us, you must hate good health.
Fair point.
And must love starvation. So, I mean, what side of this do you want to be on? Ask yourself.
I know what
that.
Side I'm on.
So, all right, we're going to, if you want to read this article on the American Mind, we will link to it in the show notes page, mcflugel.com/185. And also remember, check out libertymugs.com. We have great libertarian-themed mugs and T-shirts and some other stuff. And also, we do a lot of stuff with Bitcoin there. And as always, we are happy to take your Bitcoin from you in exchange for anything on libertymugs.com. So be aware that's available. Also, please, if you like what we're doing here and want to help us out, the best thing that you can do for us is to share us with your family and friends. Like, retweet, share, whatever platform you're on. We greatly appreciate it, and it is very helpful. And if you want to chat with us a little bit more, if you go to the show notes page, there is a link to a Telegram group that we have. And I think we already have like 14 people in the group. I saw today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a good time in there. Some great people in there chatting it up. So go check that out. So, all right, that's all I had. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Peace.